So we're going to go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Book of Matthew, Old Testament or New? That's the new one. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you're not real sure where it's at, look in the front. There's this thing called the index, and it'll tell you right where it's at. Matthew chapter 11. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word if you can. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do ask again special blessings on Brother Louis, that situation, his family. Lord, just ask you to comfort them, lift them up. Lord, we do ask that you'd be with all those traveling, all those that are out sick. Lord, have your will in each of their lives. Lay your healing hands on them. Lord, we thank you for that. I ask now as we go to your word this morning that you would open our hearts and minds to it. Lord, that you would give us discernment. Lord, but not only that, help us, Lord, in every day of our life to apply it in our daily lives, to act upon it, not just to hear it. And Lord, if there is one here this morning or in the sound of my voice that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today, Lord, they would seek you and that they would call upon you. And Lord, you said you will in no wise turn them away. We thank you. Hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in His name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to go over to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, if I can get there, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the true love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Which is one reason I read Matthew chapter 11, 28. Because He said, take upon Him, you go in His yoke. You work with Him. You work with the Lord. You get in the yoke with Jesus. And things that seem hard are not that hard. He makes it simple for us. He makes it easy for us. Verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? There was a man and a little girl driving down the road one day, and the man was taking her to somewhere, and it was his daughter, and they're driving along, and she's standing up. And he said, sit down. And she just kept standing there. He said, sit down. She just kept standing there, and he said, sit down before I spank you. And she sat down, and arms like that, buckled her up, and she said, I'm still standing in my heart. Now, the reason I said that, the Lord's commandments are not a burden. They are reasonable. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, he said it's a reasonable service. Now, I don't know if you read the sign, and that's okay, and I'm not going to quote it, but we can have joy. We can have joy in obedience. We can be joyful in obedience, or we can do it the hard way. You see, everything in God's creation obeys God. Amen. Except man. All but the humans. The animals obey God, the plants, the whole nine yards obey God. Except us. The crown of God's creation, we just can't seem to get it. And that's amazing to me. But anyway, and I'm in on that. By the way, I'm human. I was born of a woman. I've also been born of the Lord. But everything is fulfilling His Word out there. Everything. It's all fulfilling His Word. Let me read a verse to you. Write this down. Psalm 148 and verse 8 says, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His Word. Everything on this planet fulfills the will of God except mankind. In Jonah. Here's Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah. Here's Jonah. Jonah shows up and he says, the Lord spoke to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry unto it and tell them they need to repent. And Jonah's like, uh-uh. And he heads out the wrong way. Gets on a boat, ship, crawls down in the bottom, and goes to sleep. He's laid back, enjoying life. I'm going on a cruise, and I ain't dealing with what God's wanting. He goes out there, and man, they get in this bad storm, and they tell everybody, pray to your God, pray to your gods. Except for Jonah. Jonah's asleep. And they throw all kind of junk overboard, get rid of all kind of stuff, and all of a sudden, one of them says, what is the deal, sleeper? You need to get up. Pray to your God. And he said, look, he said, throw me overboard and all your problems will quit. And they're like, nah, Yeah, it'd be hard to throw somebody overboard. And so they're like, nope. And the boat's just all in the big waves. I don't know if you've ever been out in the sea or the ocean when there's big waves. I have. Ain't no fun. And finally they said, throw him overboard. They threw him overboard and the winds calmed. The seas calmed. Everything just went calm. Everything obeys God. Everything is doing God's will. Even fish.
Amen.
The Bible says that God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. Now, can you imagine? Here's this fish doing minding his own business, just swimming around, having a good time, and all of a sudden God says, hey, you're going to go eat Jonah. What? A Jew? I don't go eat him. I like worms. I like bugs. I'm going to go eat a Jew? Yep. Okay. He didn't argue. The fish didn't argue. He just went and done it. He went swam up there. Here Johnny is flopping around out there trying to get gentle to do when you get in the water. You start flopping around trying to figure out, now how am I getting out of this? Gone. And so even the fish obey God.
That's right.
But humans can't seem to get that.
We can't.
God wants us to do this to fulfill His will. Do we do it? No. God wants us to do that to fulfill His will. We argue about it. No. We just ain't going to do it. We argue back and forth and then finally I'll go do it. That ain't the right attitude to have. You see, that's not doing it joyfully. By the way, God says, hey, fish, go puke him up on the bank. Oh, praise God. There he went all over the place. I wonder what he looks like. Think about that. If you spend all this time in a fish's belly, there's acid in there. Probably bleached him. They don't know what he looks like. How would you like to have been in there too? Slime all over you. All in half. Digested worms, rubbing all over you. Whatever you need. Anyway, doesn't matter. The point is, God told the fish, go throw him up. And the fish says, okay. And he went and done it. You know, God tells us to do things. We don't always do it. Well, and it don't even end there. Jonah goes down there to Nineveh and just pitches a fit and tells them, hey, you're going to die and I'm going to sit up on the hill and watch. You need to repent, but I'm going to watch you die, because that's what was in his mind.
Right.
He wanted to see them die. Now, you got to understand, Ninevites were not the best people in the world. They were evil people. So I get it, but we're still supposed to obey God. So then here he sits. Well, it's hot. You know, he's kind of like the desert around here. You sit out there, you want to shade. So there's a bush grew up with a leaf on it. God says, grow up, cover him up. And the plant obeyed God. And then God said, all right, I'm going to make a worm. So he made a worm, and the worm come up, and he told the worm, he said, now eat the plant. Now the plant's probably thinking, well, you had me grow to cover him, now you want to... But he got ate. The worm ate him. Now, I don't say what happened to the worm afterward. Maybe he just crawled off. I don't know. But even the worm obeyed the Lord.
Amen.
But we got a problem with that, don't we? Jonah wanted... See, here's the problem. Jonah didn't want to obey the Lord. Jonah wanted his way. That's what Jonah was after. Jonah was after, I want to do things my way. Do we not do that? I want this. I want that. I'm going to do it my way. This is what I want. And by the way, this is what our problem is. If you want to know what your problem is serving the Lord, it's you got to get rid of self, because self wants this, self wants that, and God said, no, that ain't good for you, because we can't see around the corner. We have no idea, but God knows. You see, God understands what we're heading for. Riley. Riley is a sugar monster. She sugar like I drink water. Not like her grandma drinks water, because her grandma don't drink much water. I drink a lot of water. Riley loves sugar. She is just as much, but see, that's the problem in our life. We want all that sugar that we think's good for us. But obviously it's not. Because all that sugar is going to cause a problem. If she keeps on eating sugar the way she does, and trust me, Sister Maria gave her a bag of candy. Well, that's okay. You eat one out of it and, you know. No, she ate 90% of the bag in one digging. That ain't good. And then she comes in there in the morning like this. Ha! And it's like, good grief. That's because your sugar level's bad. And I ain't hungry. Well, you're going to eat anyway. And she does. She eats. And she gets a little better with a little coaxing, because I pull the fly swat down. She's like, oh, I don't. I'll get happy. And it's mind over matter then. But see, she wants all that sugar, but she don't understand why Pops and Mom and Dad and Grammy don't want me to have all this sugar. Because it's going to cause a problem down the road. We know this. But here's the problem. Here we are. God says, you don't want to do this. Well, why not? It's fun. It feels good. I like it. Well, because it's bad for you. Somewhere down the road, it ain't good. Somewhere down the road, it's not going to turn out good. Alcohol. All the TV shows, they all show everybody sitting there. You know, I used to watch the Westerns when I was a kid. They said, well, shows in the back in the day wasn't that bad. Cowboys come strutting in there, and they got the big old iron hanging on their hip, you know, and they got that swagger as they come in, and they give me a shot. Boy, they pour them a whiskey, and they go... And then, did you ever notice when they did that, they turned around? That's so they don't fall down. But that looked cool. You see, they do that. They show us all of these things about how great it is, but they don't show you the after effects. They don't show you, for instance, my aunt, who died drunk.
You know why she died? It wasn't because she's drunk. She drowned in her own vomit because she couldn't turn over. So they don't show you that. Because Satan don't want you to see that. God knows that. That's why God says you need to stay away from that stuff. Because He knows what can be. But we don't. All we see is the good side of all these things. Let me get... tuck your toes up under your pew. That way it's easy to get to your knees. Because I'm fixing to step on some toes bad. Timing is everything. How many of us are late for work? How many of us are late when it's time to get $1 million? How many of us are late to the supper table? I promise you, he ain't. He'll get there quicker. But how many of us do the same for God? Oh, I know it hurts. Trust me. I do. Well, I got all these kids. Well, guess what? I got 4. And by gosh, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I can be on time. And I got 4 kids now. So that ain't a good excuse. All right, I'll get off of that. God knows what the problems lie ahead. Because mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever, you don't put God number one before everything else. Your children, I promise you, will not. Your children will be 5 times worse than you ever thought of being. They will. I listened to classic rock and roll when my children were growing up, and I listened to it loud, huh? Seriously, that's wondering if they hear that guns. I listened to garbage. They listened to twice the garbage I did. They put on music that ain't no way I would even have in my vehicle. It's like, I didn't listen to that.
Right.
You ever heard of Metallica?
Yeah.
Tell me why Metallica can play such gorgeous music. And they're clean cut, they look good. And then all of a sudden, you're like, what was that? You know? But listen, my grandparents thought Buddy Holly was just straight out of the pit of hell.
Yeah.
You know? But my uncles listened to that. I listened to that, and then I graduated up. I'm telling you, whatever, if you sit around and eat a lot, your kids are going, all of these things, kids, they will triple whatever we as parents do.
True.
They will. That's sad. But anyway, all right, let me get off of that. I'll get off of it. Now you can put your feet back out. You see, it's things that get in our way, and it's really a rebellious attitude.
Yeah.
The little girl that she said, I'm standing in my heart. You know how many of these kids right here I can get on to at school during the day? Okay, yes, sir. They're still being rebellious.
Amen.
That right there.
Uh-huh.
The attitudes. You get on to Riley and that dad blame bottom lip about hit the floor. Peyton's the same way. That's a rebellious attitude. That's us. We do, whenever you see that, we're doing the same thing to God. Well, I'm going to get up and go to church. And then when you get here, just before you walk in, hey, everybody. Is it true?
Amen.
Yeah, we're thrilled to death over it when we come in the door, but before we got in the door, it was, oh, man. I mean, it's a rebellious attitude. It's selfishness, to be honest with you, and it's the worst part of it is pride, because you're thinking of self. You ain't thinking of nobody else, you're thinking of self. See, you're not thinking about when you show up at church how you're going to be an influence on someone else. You're thinking, oh, if I could have just stayed home. Selfish attitude. It's disobedience to God's will
honestly can be a tragedy in our lives. But it may not be totally in our life. Maybe in our kids, or it could be in our grandkids, or even our great-grandkids, seeing how I'm going to have one of them. You see, being reluctant, grudging obedience, a reluctant and a grudging obedience is just as bad as just not being obedient at all.
Amen.
Because it's not from the heart.
Amen.
We want to have a joyful obedience. You see, God doesn't want us to disobey, but honestly, He don't want us to obey out of a fear or a necessity. Well, if I don't go, Pastor Jim is going to get mad. I probably will. But you know what? I'll get over it. I don't want to go because if I don't go, Mom and Dad think I need to be there. And it ought to be out of joy from our heart that we obey God. Not a fear or, well, if I don't go, God's going to kill me. You know, I when I was called to preach, I said, And God let me know, you know, hey, I want you to preach. You can have these problems if you don't want to, which I developed a lot of problems. I caused a lot of problems. But when I finally realized, you know what? This is what the Lord wants me to do. Look what He did for me. All of a sudden, it's like I come here because it's a joy, not because out of necessity.
Right.
You know, I'll kid around with you guys and I'll say, well, if I go fishing on Sunday morning, I'll probably die out there.
Right.
Some fish swallow me. but that's not it. It's because this is where I want to be.
Amen.
I want to be telling people about the Lord and preaching the Word. And really that's what we ought to do. Paul wrote about giving in 2 Corinthians 9:7. He said, we should be giving with a willing heart. Well, guess what? We ought to be obeying with a willing heart and a joyful heart. It basically the same thing. It's what we ought to be doing. That's the way we ought to be serving the Lord. Now, let's go just a little deeper. You see, we can't love one another like we ought to, nor can we love our neighbors. Unless we love God first.
Amen.
And when I mean unless we love God first, we ought to be loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Not just part of it.
That's right.
You see, God don't want a partial. God wants you to love Him because of what He did for us.
Yeah.
And if we back up and think about what He did for us, He took His only begotten Son and put Him on the cross. And He took on our sins. We ought to be doing it out of a willing heart. You see, we must first love Him with all our heart before we can love ourselves, to be honest, or others. Oh, we think we might love ourselves because, well, I'm having all the fun in the world. I'm enjoying life. But honestly, if you don't love God, you're really not loving yourself nor nobody else. And we can't if we don't love God the way we ought to. You see, God wants us to perfect, or I'll say it this way, mature.
Amen.
In His love for us, we need to understand how much God truly loved us. Who in here was born before the world was made? God already planned it. He said, because they're going to mess up, I'm going to send my only begotten Son to die on the cross. Well, that's kind of stupid, wasn't it? Well, it's called love is what it is. He could have just said, well, I ain't going to make them.
Right.
You know, because in Genesis 1:26, God says, let us go down and make man in our image. Well, He could have just said, well, wait a minute. I'm going to have to send Jesus. He's going to have to go through all this life suffering, give up everything He had here in heaven, go down there and suffer and be beat on, spit on, railed on, mocked at, and then give up His life for those that I'm going to create. Well, maybe I'll just not create them. But see, that was real love. You see, that we need to understand the kind of love that God has for us. That is maturity. That is completeness. And because 2 Peter 3:18 tells us we need to grow in grace and knowledge.
Amen.
But not only grace and knowledge, we need to grow in that love for God.
Amen.
And the stronger we get to Him, the stronger that love is, the easier it is to love everything else about God. Which God disciplines us. God created all of what we see. You know, kind of like me and Sandy. When I first met Sandy, she was all right. You know, and the more I lived with her, the more I thought, the more I lived with her, the more I loved her.
That's right.
And the closer we got, the more I loved her. And the stronger my love grew for her, until the point now, listen, you do the wrong thing, I'd shoot somebody over her.
Amen.
I don't have a problem with that. When it comes to my wife, I'll step in front of a locomotive, if that's what it would take to save her. I'll give my life for her. That's the way our love for God ought to be. And the only way to do that is for us to know Him. And to grow in grace and knowledge, but not just that. Grow in His love. You see, and we do this on a daily basis. This ain't on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's a daily basis, Monday through Monday.
Amen.
All the time, we need to be growing this away and getting this away. See, by becoming, by knowing God much deeper, it helps us to grow in His love. The more I know about her, the more I understand her love for me. The more I understand my love for her. And the tougher it gets. You see, now what is the secret to joyful obedience? I got four things. But what is the secret? You see, one thing you can ask yourself, are you serving a loving Father? Well, yeah, we are. But are you helping and loving brothers and sisters in Christ? That's what we ought to be doing. We don't need to be cutting one another down. We don't need to be upset with one another. We need to love one another. If we got a problem, we got to pray.
Amen.
You pray for that. Love covers a multitude of sins. And it's a good thing. Four things. Look back at 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 17 through 19. You see, there's a confidence that we as children of God, the closer we get to the Lord, the more confidence we have.
Yeah.
Verse 17 said, "Herein is our love made mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." Ask yourself, are you being like Him? Peter said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's what Jesus said. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Oh, I can't be holy. Why not? It's called that. Basically, that's separation.
Yes.
Separate yourself from the garbage.
Right.
That's what we need to be doing. We need to separate ourselves from what causes us to not serve the Lord the way we ought to not love the Lord the way we ought to. Separate ourselves from that. From the worldly system. Separate yourself from the worldly system. Yes, we live here. We do. We live in this world. We got to put up with Bidenomics or whatever you want to call it. We got to put up with it, but we need to separate ourselves from that stuff. It's a worldly system that we don't need to follow. We need to be separate from it. And we have confidence being like Him. Be holy because He is holy. Where did I stop at? 18. Verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
The reason my wife loves me is because I made the approaches toward her. That's the truth.
Amen.
She was probably thinking, look at this hippie or whatever. I don't know what she thought. Because I wore bell bottoms and moccasins. And I had kind of long hair and I didn't have a beard at that time. I was pretty young. But anyway, I was trying. I shaved every day whether I needed it or not because it made me feel better. Verse 17. Here is our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. You see, the closer I get to the Lord, I don't fear a lot of the junk in this world.
Amen.
A lot of this stuff going on is like, I really ain't worried about it. Getting COVID. I didn't want the mess because I don't like colds. I don't even like a sniffy nose. But I didn't have a fear of getting it. If I get it and it kills me, well, so be it. Because I know where I'm going. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Listen, I never worried about my children. Sandy said, that's because you're a man. Well, that may be true. God made me that way. I never worried about them. They go out and play, they get on the snake. Well, hey, Lord will take care of it. I didn't have that kind of fear of it. It's like, God's going to take care of them. If we're not out there doing something stupid, God's going to take care of it.
Amen.
And if it's God decides to take one home, well, take him home. Take her home. I just had to look at it that way. Do I want them? Did I want them to die? No. I love my kids. I want them to be, but I didn't worry about them. You know, and honestly, I just didn't have that fear. But see, we love him because he first loved us. If a man, no, I got to stop there, because he first loved us. Now, so we got confidence because he loved us. He takes care of us. He told me, if you die on the face of this earth, the second your breath leaves you, you'll be with me. I have to live with that. I have to say, okay, I can handle that, and I don't want to leave my wife. I kind of like the old gal. Especially after as long as I've been with her. So it's like, but if the Lord wants me to go, I'll go. And I just have to, okay, I got this. You love me. Why does he not want us to do stupid things? Because he loves us.
Right.
It's not because, well, you know, you serve that God, y'all can't do nothing. Y'all can't have no fun, you can't smile. That's not true.
That's right.
God loves me, and I know he does. So he does that out of love. I used to tell my kids, you can't do this. Why? Oh, I hated that word. Why? Because. Don't worry about it right now. I'll explain it to you later. If I explained it to you now, you wouldn't get it. I'll explain it to you later. Which I did. Look at verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar.
Amen.
For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?
Amen.
Honesty. That's another thing. We need confidence, but we need to be honest with ourselves. We know the Word's honest with us. Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. If I got a problem and I hate people, I might ought to back up and figure out if, first off, if I'm saved. Second off, is why ain't I loving people? Because I ought to. Because God says I got his divine nature. I should be loving. Joyful obedience. Not just obedience. We just read these verses 1 through 3. Not just obedience. Joyful obedience. I should not be doing it out of fear. I shouldn't be doing it because, well, I got to do it. I like what Sister Linda used to say. No, you get to do it.
Amen.
Oh, I got to sing a special tonight. No, you get to sing the special. God's allowing you to.
Preach.
Man, you ought to take advantage. If God's opening the door, go for it.
That's right.
It shouldn't be a problem. Victory. Look at verse 4 and verse 5 of chapter 1. I mean chapter 5, excuse me, I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, I'm going to be up front with you. Believers live in a real world. We got real problems. Anybody that tells you they ain't got problems, they lying to you. We've all got problems. We got real temptations. If you ain't getting tempted, maybe you ought to check your salvation. Because you're going to get tempted. Real heartache. Do we have real heartaches? We do. These two over here, they got real heartaches right now. She's in Albuquerque most of the week. He's in Colorado most of the week, and they just dumped their kids off in Nevada and said, fend for yourself. No, at Pop's house sometimes it feels like that, don't it? Look, that's a heartache. And it's a hardship. We got real hardships. We got real heartaches. We got real troubles. We live in a real world. Right now, I was over there at Diane's last night, and Brother Louie, man, I'm like, wow, I wish I could help him. But I can't. I don't know what to do for him. Just pray for him. Let him know we love him. Let him know we're there to comfort him. It's heartaches. It's hardships. There's all kind of problems. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it just ain't easy to always obey like we ought to. Because we got... I talked to Brother Ray and Sister Elsie this morning and Miko about this. I talked to them about we fight with the flesh. The heart and mind, it fights constantly because the devil's filling us with all this junk. But the Holy Spirit's saying, no. You need to trust Jesus. You need to listen to what we fight with it. But I'll be honest with you. The more we grow in love with God, the easier it is not to fight with it. You can overpower it. You see, sometimes it's just not that. Matter of fact, sometimes it's just easier to just drift with the world. It really is. Man, you throw an anchor down when you're in a boat. You drop that anchor, well, you got all that mess you got to go through. You got to pick the anchor up, you got to drop it over there, you got to tie it off. And then you got to worry about, well, I hope we don't get hung up on something on the way up. Jimmy Hoffa or no, gets hung up on something on the way up, and it's just easier just to park your boat, turn it off, cast your line out, and before long you're like, well, I didn't know I was this far off course. That's what happens to us. It's just drift with the world, and all of a sudden we're back in the same mess we started out, and we get in bad trouble. But sometimes it's easy, just do our own thing. But listen, we need to depend on God. You see, if we truly are saved, we have a divine nature. I want you to understand something. It is impossible for that divine nature to go against God. That's right. That's why there's such a battle. Amen. Because I've got the divine nature of God saying no. And I got Satan, which is the old flesh. Oh, come on, it's good. You know, you want to do this. And the divine nature saying no. It's a constant battle. It's impossible for that divine nature to tell you anything other than what God wants. You see, that divine nature obeys God, but the world wants us to think that God's commandments are a problem. They're grievous. They're not. Error, it's a reasonable thing. You see, our victory in the Lord is a result of our faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as we grow in faith, we'll grow in love.
Amen.
You see, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I used to go to the gym every day. Did that for a year. Man, I'm pumping the iron. I started out with curls of like 40 or whatever. I got up to curling 90. Wasn't no problem. I was doing these flex things, I don't know what they call them. Started out about 120, got up to about 160. Finally, I made it up to 190. I'm pulling around there. Then you got to do them this way. And I was doing great. And then I tore something in there. And then COVID come along because I got overconfident. I'm like, yeah, I knew that. And then COVID come along and just shut the gym down. But we got, the whole point is we got to build our faith. How are we going to build our faith? It's right here.
Amen.
The Word of God, that's how we build our faith.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
We can listen to anything else we want to. But if it ain't the Word of God, you ain't building your faith.
That's right.
We got to be building our faith. And the more we build our faith, the easier it is to hear that voice that says, no, that's not a good idea.
That's right. Amen.
No, that's not what God wants. This is what God wants. This is what you need. You see, the closer we grow to the Lord, it's easier to have that victory over these things. The more our love for Christ matures, the more our faith matures. Because see, faith and love mature together.
Amen.
They're not separate. You can't get more faith without getting more love. You can't get more love without getting more faith. And that's what we want. Overcomers, it said in here we're overcomers. Listen, overcomers are not a select group of Christians.
Amen.
It's not me and Sheldon and Will and everybody else y'all on your own. No. That's all believers.
Amen.
We're overcomers. It's not just a select group. It's all believers that allow the Holy Ghost to control their lives.
Amen.
It's not faith in ourselves. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us the victory.
Bless God.
That's what we need.
We've
got to have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I trusted Him, and I got faith in Him, but, man, it's hard to walk the way I'm supposed to. The Bible says the same way that we trusted Christ is the way we need to live our daily life. It's called by faith. The only way to build that faith is to get closer to God. And the only way to get closer to God is through His Word.
Amen.
Let's stand.